Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are a locally grown radio. 9:04 on the clock. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by Katrina Hittner.
Hello, hello.
We say good morning to our friends at Family Natural Foods. Opened their doors a couple of minutes ago.
Yeah.
Get on over to Family Natural Foods and have a good time. Enjoy yourself and check out some of the great things that they got over there for you.
Come say hi today.
Mm-hmm. They're waiting for you at 910 West Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids. You can also find out more by going to familynaturalfood.com.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll wrap that up talking a little Family Natural Foods, right, Katrina. Right now, actually, I wanted to touch on this really quick. I mentioned that it is Marcel Marceau's birthday, the famous mime.
Yes.
I mean, kind of the only famous mime.
Right.
Not to be mean, but there's not a whole lot of famous mimes.
You're right.
They're on Google today. They've got a really cool little Google image of Marcel. It's one of those animated ones of him where he's just doing a bunch of mime things with the Google logo.
Yeah.
I always like when they do those things.
I like when they do that too.
That's pretty cool. So we got some entertainment news to dive into first. A little bit later, we'll get into That Ain't Right stories. And then we got some good stories of the day, including Mr. Pickles, a 90-year-old tortoise.
Oh, Mr. Pickles.
We have to talk about Mr. Pickles, the tortoise.
Mm-hmm.
That is coming up a little bit later in our good stories of the day. Right now, we kick things off with Wayne's World. Wayne's World. It's excellent. Wayne's World 3 sounds like it might actually happen.
Oh, wow.
In an interview with People magazine, Dana Carvey said it's on the horizon. He said, quote, maybe we'll do it in puppets. I'm not sure. I'm always game. I love Mike Myers. Just a brilliant guy. He didn't mention what the deal was with that photo he shared last month, the one where he's dressed as Garth painting a portrait of Mike as Wayne. Now, I'm guessing that was part of a promotional thing that fell through.
Sure.
I want to add to that Dana Carvey was also in Aurora, Illinois when they did that.
Mm-hmm.
Aurora, Illinois is where Wayne's World takes place.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure if they could be doing something that they're just keeping it under wraps for now until they tell. Both these guys are not old school, but they're a little bit older in the sense of the way that they market things.
Mm-hmm.
And so the whole idea of teasing something is kind of not lost on them.
Yep.
So I wouldn't be surprised if that's, you know, what they're doing.
I guess that would be interesting. I mean, it would be like an... Oh, man, I'm just thinking of, like, because there's obviously been many years since it's happened. So I'm curious, like, okay, same actors, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the context, but, it could be really, really fun.
It could be great.
It could be really great, or it could be really just
really
terrible.
Bad.
Like, you shouldn't
really
have done
bad.
That. I just don't think you leave it as a good thing. Just leave it be.
So the first one is classic. The second one most people like, and actually is one of those sequels where a lot of people do enjoy that one. Now, I think because of that, you could have came out with a third, but I would have done it then.
Yeah.
Like, now, I feel like when they do these, like, I watched the recent Bill and Ted one that they did, and it was okay, but it was just so, it didn't add to the storytelling. It felt like it took too long.
Sure.
Mel Brooks used to get a hard time for doing parody movies too late.
Yep.
Like, you know, the Kevin Costner Robin Hood comes out, and it's like 4 or 5 years later that Robin Hood Men in Tights comes out and stuff. Star Wars comes out, and it's like a decade later when Spaceballs comes out, that kind of thing. But he got away with it because he's Mel Brooks, and he's that dang talented and that funny. People love those movies.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't matter. To Mel's point, he felt, if it's that relevant pop culture wise, and I'm working on it a year, like now, it's going to be relevant 4 years from now.
Sure,
or especially back then, for him, what he felt was, well, by now everybody would have seen it.
Mm-hmm.
It's gotten to VHS, it's been on cable or whatever.
Yep.
Nowadays, of course, with downloading and all that, that's not an issue as much. And movies come out sooner.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
About 3 months and they come out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see the spin on how they, well, one, I guess if they do it or how they do it, and hopefully it's not puppets. That's all I hope right there.
Yeah, I would really hope so. I'd really, really hope that it wasn't. I would rather see an animated one than a puppet one.
Right.
Nothing against puppets. Puppets are fine.
Well, and I mean, I guess what's it,
Mike Myers.
Mike Myers, thank you. Yeah. I couldn't think of his last name. I mean, he's done a lot of animation lately, so I could actually see something with animation, but I hope it's like the real deal if they choose to do it.
Yeah. I imagine that they would do the kind of thing a little similar to Bill and Ted, where Wayne and Garth grown up, you know, and, and having kids and that kind of thing. And and I mean, you know, the real point is giving people like us that like the movies or whatever nostalgia. Yep. So you can't miss if that's the case. Now, they're going to want the money. They're going to want it to do well in box office wise and everything. And you can't guarantee that. But I got a feeling that if they do it, it'd be, you know, do well. I think what they would do better off with is doing something TV wise or streaming wise.
Yes.
Like releasing something on Netflix or something like that. The cost and reward isn't the same, of course, but that lack of a need of that's a ceiling on something like that is a lot better than, you know, I should say, I'm sorry, the floor on that is a lot better than the ceiling on something like that.
Yeah.
The ceiling may not be what a movie is, where you can get nominated for awards and these kind of things. But if you're a comedy, you're not worrying about that as much.
Right.
You're worrying more about how many people I can reach.
Yep.
That's where a Netflix, a Hulu, something like
you reach a lot of people.
Yeah. As a side note, the History of the World Part 2, the thing that they have on Hulu, been great. I've only watched a couple of them. They've been great.
Okay.
I've loved them. We move on to music, where The Weeknd is pretty darn popular. And not just because we love The Weeknd. The Weeknd is the most popular artist in the world, at least according to Guinness World Records. So while we cover, you know, entertainment in this section, we're also, we cover a lot of Guinness World Records around here. We love covering those. So
yes,
we're getting two things right here. He set two Spotify records, most monthly listeners with 111.4 million. And the first artist to reach 100 million monthly listeners. His 2020 song Blinded Lights also has the most Spotify streams and is the longest charted song on the Billboard Hot 100 of all time, with a total of 90 weeks.
Wow.
That's impressive.
That is.
They've been doing this a long time, and that's impressive. Now, there's modern times and more people, and there's a lot of factors that play into this. But, I mean, at the end of the day, that's just impressive. Like, you can't take anything from him. You can't take anything from that. That's just impressive.
Yeah.
I don't think it's too surprising either, too, though. The first time I heard him was on the radio, I Can't Feel My Face or whatever. And I did not know the song. I didn't know who he was. But I hear him singing, and I'm like, wait a second, I turn it up, and I was just pulling into like a restaurant or something like that, and I'm listening, I'm like, that can't be a Michael. That, like, did they take, because it sounds a little like Michael to me. And then I see him dance, and he dances a little like Michael. And there's been a lot of great artists, and he's his own man, his own artist with his own original style, but I've never seen anybody that sounds or reminds me more of Michael Jackson. So the fact that he's doing this with his career is not shocking to me at all. Like, I didn't expect this, but I expected greatness from him. I thought he would be big. I thought he'd be great. And, you know, he's done a Super Bowl halftime show and all the Grammys and all that. It's not surprising. It is a little like shocking in some ways, because Blinded Lights is 2020, and I think that was his most recent song. So
I was going to say, it's not even anything that's super new. I mean, not old by any means, but yeah, good for them. That's
pretty
amazing.
Pretty impressive. And finally, we get into this one here. Thanks to Ticketmaster's dynamic pricing and the ridiculous inflated resale market, people are getting fed up with the cost of concert tickets. They have been since we were kids. People have been fed up with this for a long time. It's just the chickens are coming home to roost. And things have gotten really out of hand. Some people are flying to Europe to see concerts and finding that it can actually save them money under the right circumstances.
No way.
This is how bad it's gotten. This is particularly helpful if you have airline miles or hotel points that can offset travel costs.
Sure.
So that's something that would play into this. Although it's not a factor, it certainly helps. It goes a long way.
Definitely.
Or if you happen to have a friend or relative you can stay with in the vicinity at the concert. So you're not having to rent a hotel room and spend money on that. But tickets are definitely cheaper. One content creator got floor seats to see Jay-Z and Beyonce in Paris for $92.
Wow.
Those same tickets in her hometown of Dallas cost $900.
No way.
Yeah.
Do people pay for that?
Yeah. I just don't understand how anybody goes to a show anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know. Outside of the top 1%, I don't know how anybody can afford this. Another woman says she paid $200 for a ticket to see Beyonce in London that would have cost her $800 in the U.S.
Mm.
Costs can be more reasonable because European nations actually have consumer protection laws and have taken steps to limit resale prices. Gee, that sounds interesting.
Maybe we should look into that a little bit.
I wonder. I know we're a young country, but I feel like that's something we could look into. We should have looked into a while ago. Obviously, saving hundreds of dollars on tickets can help mitigate the cost of travel and lodging if you're stuck paying for that.
Mm-hmm.
And even if the overall experience costs you more, you're getting a lot more bang for your buck because you're turning it into a European vacation.
Right. Sure. Yeah. Sign me up. I'll do that.
If I'm going to spend, and it's hard for me even say this theoretically, because I'm not even actually doing it, but just even in jest, I'm going to spend $1,000 on a concert. Let's even say it's in state. I'm going to Madison. Yep. I'm going to see a show, and I'm going to spend $900 to see Jay-Z and Beyonce. And I've even got my sister in Madison, so I could stay with Jill. I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's still going to cost me $1,000.
Right.
Gas, everything else, traveling-wise. I'd rather spend an extra couple hundred or whatever if I got this kind of money and go to Europe.
Yeah, and if you have a relative that lives in London and you can stay with them or something.
Even if I didn't, I'd rather spend like
a little more.
Yeah, because your ticket's going to be like hundreds of dollars cheaper.
Right.
So you spend that money on the ticket, on a hotel or whatever, and enjoy yourself. So you're not just getting a concert out of it; you're getting an actual, huge journey out of it as well.
Yeah, I would definitely do that. It's mind-boggling because, I could see like maybe $100 or $200 difference. Maybe. That's still even quite a bit. That's a big markup difference.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like $100 to an $800 show? Wow.
I don't know what they how people are going to be able to continue doing, like even the ones that are able to go now, how they're going to be going to, you can only pick one show. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
Like, used to, like, I didn't just go to concerts. I went to multiple concerts.
Yeah.
Like, that's what we did through the summer, me and my friends.
Yeah,
we
Milwaukee.
Went to shows and stuff. Yep, heading to Milwaukee and Madison every weekend. Sometimes Appleton, Alpine Valley, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But it was partially we were able to do that because of the affordability of those tickets and everything. This, I mean, not only, you may only get to see one show in your lifetime. Like, this is it.
That's it.
This is the only show.
Make it a good choice.
Enjoy. You better hope that they, yeah. I don't like the idea of them putting this on artists, and I don't like the idea of blaming all of it on Ticketmaster. Because, like most things in life, it is not just one thing is the problem.
Right.
It's hard in a capitalist society. It is hard to blame a business for doing what a business is supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
I always get mad at people when they yell at their dog for barking. It's a dog. That's what it does. It barks. If you don't like it, why do you have a dog?
Part of what you want is a guard dog, right?
Yeah,
yes, there it is.
You know, you can't get mad at the business for doing what a business is meant to do. Businesses work to make money. They don't work to take care of people or help people or whatever. That's a nonprofit. That's something like that. Ticketmaster does not care about you. Ticketmaster is an entity. It has no feelings. It's an entity. It's a business.
But it doesn't need to make a 300% markup on it.
No, it
not
doesn't.
Not at all.
But that's where that's why you have so. One more metaphor to add on top of a metaphor on top of a metaphor. If I'm an athlete and I break my leg, I'm an athlete. My instinct is to go out there and play, even with a broken leg.
Mm-hmm.
But my coach, his job is sit down.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot play anymore. That's where a government is coming into play, and where I do think the government having these laws and to have the ability, like the European laws that they have, the consumer protection laws.
Yep.
We have some of that stuff here. We just don't go by it, and we also let too much money. They don't run into this in Europe as much either, where you can just buy any politician you want.
Yep.
Like that whole thing.
Yep.
That doesn't. It's not to say that doesn't exist in Europe. I'm not saying that doesn't exist at all, mm-hmm. but not like it is here, not mm-hmm. where it's a business, mm-hmm. where lobbying is a business. I can fail at my job as a politician and fail up and make more money and have less responsibility being that, doing that. Like that's mm-hmm. the system we've created.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to get mad at a business for doing what a business does. I'm not mm-hmm. saying you can't, and I'm not saying I'm not. I hate Ticketmaster. Mm-hmm. I can't stand what they've done. Mm-hmm. But I'm also an adult. Like mm-hmm. I get what this is, what we all agreed mm-hmm. to. We agreed to capitalism. We agreed to this. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have this.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's on us as consumers to pick and choose where we spend our money. That's one thing. And yeah. I think it's on the government to do their job as a government and hold these things in check.
Yes. And I'm sure their ticket sales have to be lower than they used
to. Gotta be.
And I mean, shouldn't that also show that, oh, we should do something different? What do you think it is? Yeah. All right, maybe let's try a couple hundred off and still make some money on it, you know?
If you guys at Family Natural Foods start charging $900 for fish oil, and like, wait a minute, we're not getting rid of any of this fish oil, you're going to realize, hey, maybe we should mark this down a little bit. Like, you get it. Yeah. You understand business. Like, I don't see them doing this, though. Mm. I think it's going to be interesting to see. I tell you, something that's not going to cost you that kind of money, walleye days. Walleye day is going on in the Coosa. You ain't going to have to spend $900 to get a ticket to go see that or anything. It's 10 minutes away.
Right.
From us here at Rapids. Of course, wherever you're listening to us, though, might not be as close or might be closer or a little bit farther, but it's worth it. This Saturday, March 25th through Sunday, April 16th, test your angling prowess during the annual Nakusa Walleye Days from March 25th to April 16th. Catch the big fish and enter to win. Top three catches will earn prizes. Must be at least 28 inches to register. You can register fish at the Nakusa Mobile Station at 106 First Street in Nakusa. Be on the lookout and check out many events that are going on with this one. The Freeman Walleye Challenge, the Walleye Days Kids Contest, mm-hmm. all of that coming up. All of this right around the corner, everybody. So it's going to be a fun ending to March and beginning of April mm-hmm. as we celebrate Nakusa Walleye Days. I encourage you to do that. Celebrate with our friends in Nakusa. You can also find out more information. You can contact Howard at FreemanHoward83@gmail.com. That's FreemanHoward83@gmail.com. Or by calling 715-571-7550, 571-7550. Enjoy Nakusa Walleye Days, everybody, kicking off this Saturday. We'll take a break. We'll come back and have some more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Katrina and James here with you. We're having a good time. Hope you are, too. Having a lot of fun on this show today. I want to get into this one with you, Katrina. You've probably been to someone's house and been shocked that they do refrigerate something you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Or that they keep something in the pantry that you refrigerate.
Mm-hmm.
Not everything is up for debate. You can't keep hamburger meat in the cupboard.
Nope, can't do that.
But there are different opinions on a lot of things. A poll asked people how they store various things, and here are the results.
Okay.
Thought this would be interesting. Mayonnaise. 98% say it belongs in the fridge. 2% say that the pantry is fine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if my parents use mayonnaise, really. I know I don't. I've never been a mayonnaise guy, so I have no idea what to do with mayonnaise.
Nor am I, but I always have seen people keep it in their refrigerator, and that's what I would do if I were to have it, because I think there's eggs in it. And But again, maybe it's fine. It's just there's a shelf life on it, right? If it's in the fridge, it's longer. If it's not... And what does it say on the package, right? Does it say refrigerate after opening? That's what I would definitely look at.
I'd always look at the instructions. Yes. That usually will not do you wrong. Funny you mentioned eggs. Eggs come in second. Eggs. 90% say that they belong in the fridge. 10% say the pantry is fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's common in Europe and other countries for eggs to be left unrefrigerated. Mm-hmm. But those countries vaccinate their chickens against salmonella. So in Europe, eggs keep their natural protective cuticle. But since American chickens aren't vaccinated, the eggs need to be scrubbed clean in a machine and they lose the natural coating.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Okay, that's good to know the reasoning. I always was just thinking that we were... I've heard from people that have eggs or chickens that if you wash the eggs... then you need to put them in the fridge. If you don't wash them, so you collect them from their coop, and you can keep them out for a while. And I think that's essentially what it's getting at. Like if you, that cuticle or whatever that term is, that you're washing that layer off of it. That's a protective. So, because if you think about it, right, like the, you know, there's a chicken there inside of there. And so it's protecting it too. So yeah, I've heard both. It just depends on, I think, if you raise them or not.
Yeah. Pesto, 90% say it belongs in the fridge. 10% say the pantry is fine. Mm. I have I've seen my my family do both.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when it's open is when it goes in the refrigerator,
yeah,
usually. So.
Same.
Otherwise, it's just sitting there.
Right. And there's oil in it, and oil gets oxidizes fast and can get rancid. So yeah. I think, like, refrigerator, again. But, again, is this like the, hey, this is how grandma always did it, so that's how we do it,
right,
conversation?
Right.
Or what is the truth, I guess, looking at the package?
The first thing I thought of was my nana, was my grandma, and how she kept it, yeah. Pickles, 89% say that they belong in the fridge. 11% say the pantry is fine.
Mm.
See, I've always seen pickles in the refrigerator.
Yep,
I didn't even
same.
Know this was a debate. I thought it just went in there.
Yeah, agreed.
Hmm. But I guess I could see where they don't necessarily need to stay refrigerated.
They're fermented in their brine and such.
Yeah.
But I would think, again, they'd last longer that way.
Yes, yeah. Now, I don't see it. Oh, I do see it on the list. Okay, we'll get to it eventually. Because I was going to bring up something that I've always wondered about. But yeah, we'll get to it in a bit. Mustard. 87% say fridge. 13% say pantry.
Mm-hmm.
Ketchup is next. 86% say fridge. 14% say pantry. So with both of those, mustard, ketchup, I've always seen them in the refrigerator. Mm-hmm. But now that I'm thinking about it, why?
Yeah.
It's not like I prefer cold ketchup. Like,
right.
I don't.
At a restaurant, they keep it out
right.
for days and days. Granted, they
right.
refill it,
yeah.
right? So this, they might keep
well,
it in
right.
the fridge and then refill it. But I think it's got enough like vinegar in it to preserve it. And I feel like in other countries, I have seen it in like their cupboard and
yeah.
not in the refrigerator.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
We must be doing this just because we had another person in our life doing it, and we just keep doing
right.
it. Like, because I can't think of why mustard and ketchup would. If you prefer them cold, that's different.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to think of like health concerns mm-hmm. and things like that. Like, oh, it's you know, it can go ketchup can go bad if we mm-hmm. don't have it in the refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess maybe that's an option.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know enough about it. Butter. 77% say fridge, 23% say pantry. Those 23% of people that put it in the pantry are insane. You are crazy. No, I'm joking. I'm just kidding. I know plenty of people that do both. I actually am surprised it's not 50-50.
I would have said the same. Now, I think a lot of people keep it in their fridge or freezer, and then they put it on their table or something. But
yeah.
often, again, restaurants, they have it out on the table. And people want it room temperature versus I can't spread it, right?
Yes.
It's the spreadability.
Yeah, yeah. I like having it in the fridge, but if I'm going to make a bagel, I take it out, let
yeah.
it sit, and then I put the bagel down.
Yep.
And by the time the bagel pops up, usually it's ready to go.
Yep.
Soy sauce. 57% say fridge, 43% say pantry.
Oh, I do pantry on that.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie to anybody. I don't eat a lot of Asian food, so
yeah.
I don't use a lot of soy sauce. I like soy sauce.
Yeah.
It tastes good.
Yeah.
But I don't use a lot of it, so mm-hmm. I couldn't tell you where I put it because I don't put it anywhere.
Right. Well, again, a restaurant, right?
Yes.
I don't,
but that's what
I was
thinking.
How are they refilling it? It's on the tables often. And yeah.
I think the restaurant thing is a really good reference. That's a really good note to make. Apples. 44% say fridge, 56% say pantry. I've seen both.
And I don't think this is wrong, right?
Yeah.
I think, again, it'll last longer long term. So, like, we'll go apple picking in the fall, and a lot of times my parents will keep it in their, like, fridge downstairs. So they can keep it and eat it until March right now.
Mm-hmm.
But if you kept it out just in room temperature, it would probably only last till, like, you know, maybe January or
yeah.
December.
Avocados, 41% say they belong in the fridge, 59% say the pantry is fine. One avocado it becomes perfectly ripe, but then put them in the fridge to slow them at that stage for as long as possible.
I do that.
So once avocado, oh, that's kind of cool. Good on you. And that's pretty cool they do that. Oh, I like that. Yeah, and I've seen avocados in fridges mostly. I guess mm-hmm. Sometimes in a basket on
mm-hmm.
on a
yep.
you know table or something.
Yeah, that's I put it in a little basket, and then like if it's getting ripe, I'm like put it in the fridge. It'll
yeah,
give
yeah.
me a day or two. But yes,
people love avocados. It is not surprising to me that we figured out a way to keep them longer and get the most out of them.
Mm-hmm.
Number 11, maple syrup. 41% say fridge, 59% say pantry.
Okay, so if it's the true maple syrup, not the fake stuff, right?
Yeah.
I have experimented, and I would say that fridge will keep it longer, better, and fresher. In fact, I had a sample of one, and I accidentally forgot to refrigerate it, and I only didn't refrigerate it for a short period of time, and it went rancid. Like, there was mold that grew on the top. Now, some people would clear off that mold and then just consume it again, but a refrigerator is what I would choose, but only after it's open. Now, if it's not open, definitely fine to leave in a pantry. Nothing wrong with that.
I couldn't agree more. It also, I will say this, having it in the refrigerator, I think it heats up better. I love warming up my maple syrup. I need some right now.
Right? It's maple syrup season now. You could start collecting some.
I want to send a big shout out to Mike Hittner. Okay. Mike brought in the maple syrup for me to try before it's distilled or whatever. Like,
does
I got to try
that. You just love maple syrup.
I did. It was great. It was awesome. It was so cool. I could not wait to tell you. You would have thought I was 7 years old. Mm-hmm. I could not wait to tell my mother I got to try that yesterday.
Right? That's so great. I love it. Maple syrup. Yum.
Number 12, chocolate. 24% say fridge, 76% say pantry.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we all have our preferences. Some like some people like the harder, like putting it in the freezer and letting it get hard.
Yep.
You know, some people like it softer or what have you. So I think that's more about that.
Preference, yeah. I have heard some people put it in the freezer so they don't think about it as often. Or it has to take time to like cool off a little bit. I've
that's
heard
funny.
That.
That's
I was like,
good.
Oh, clever.
Peanut butter. 13% say it belongs in the fridge. 87% say the pantry is fine. I've always seen peanut butter in the pantry. I guess I've seen it in the fridge maybe once or twice, but I think it's always been in the even when it's open.
Yeah, so peanut butter is an interesting one. It spreads better, like butter, if it's in the pantry. And I think it depends on how quick you go through it.
Yes.
Because there's oil, it's rancid, etc. Both, I think, are fine. Just depends on how quickly you go through it.
In our house, we burn through peanut butter so quick that it didn't matter.
Right.
So I think that's such a good point to bring up. That's interesting. Anyone would have thought of that. That's a good point. The final one on this list is the one that I've heard the most debate about, honestly. And I mean that in our own house. And like, well, not our house, but my parents' house.
Sure.
And growing up, my brother and sister, all of us, and their houses individually. Bread. 17% say it belongs in the fridge. 83% say the pantry is fine. Now, the idea of it being fine is great. I want to know what the better place for it is.
What's best, yes.
Yes, what's best for it. What keeps the bread fresh? What keeps it around longer? Because I, from what I can gather, and I'm not an expert, I'm just going off of as a big bread lover. I love bread. It really depends on the brand.
Yes.
It really depends on the type of brand. There are certain breads, you put them in the fridge, and if you don't eat bread every day or something like that, it gets kind of like...
dry.
Yeah, and it just doesn't taste the same. Where that can also happen with some bread that you leave out for too long and if you don't eat bread every day. So I think you got to know your brand and figure out what works best. And thankfully, bread usually isn't too expensive.
Right.
So you're not, you're not trialing and erroring and costing yourself tons.
Yeah, what I think of, so the warmer months when my house is warm, so I might like leave it out in my cupboard or leave it out in the cupboard or on the table or something like that. And I might do that for a couple days. And then if we're not going through it, I might stick it in the freezer and just pull a piece out at a time or the fridge. But in the summer, it's warmer in our house and it will get mold on it faster if I don't do something. So I might only leave it on the cupboard for like a day or two and then put it in fridge or freezer.
That makes sense.
That's definitely changes it.
We're going to take a break right here. Hopefully some of that stuff helps you or just confuses you even more. What am I supposed to do with this peanut butter?
Right.
Well, hopefully you can figure that out during the break. We're going to get to Melissa's news. We'll come back with some Betty Wright stories, good stories of the day, and plenty more fun on The Morning Show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings here on WFHR.
Strike a pose.
Yep.
Strike a pose.
Knew it. I knew it right away, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. This one I knew right away, which is kind of funny because I'm not a huge Madonna fan, but it just shows her popularity, I think.
Definitely.
We hope you're having a good one out there, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. Kat and James here with you. Moving through the morning. We're going to take it right to the top of the hour after this next commercial break coming up. We got to get into this one first, though. Mm. This beat does kind of still hold up, doesn't it?
It does.
It does. Huh? Yeah. I didn't think of it. I haven't heard this song in so long.
Again, today's theme, get goofy, strike a pose.
Yes.
Do you today?
Yes. The voguing, could only do the hand thing, the face where you're framing your face. Mm-hmm. That was the only voguing I could. I could break dance for all get out, but that kind of dancing couldn't do. Couldn't do that for some reason. I don't know. If you're on social media every day, you are slammed with dozens and dozens of people's cute photos of their pets. Mm-hmm. In fact, you may have entire friendships that have been reduced to just sharing pet photos. In a new poll, 51% of pet owners say that they think that they could sell merchandise of their pets, of their pet to other people. And 33% of pet owners have already designed their own pet merch.
Yeah.
Wow.
I could see that. Some people, right? Or like their kids have gotten a mug with that dog on it or something like that. Not like selling the merch maybe to everybody, but yeah, I get it.
Now, that may seem high or possibly delusional, but 36% of pet owners have set up dedicated social media accounts for their pets, and you follow them, and you like the comment and post on them and stuff, so, I mean, they may be onto something.
I do know a couple people that have done that, and it's funny and alarming. It's both.
Yeah, a little bit of both, it is. But even without you, people are obsessed with their animals. 25% of them would consider getting a tattoo of their current pet. Another 16% already have a pet-themed tattoo on their body. Mm. I know of three or four people off the top of my head that lost a dog and had the paw prints or the birth date on their, tattooed on them. We do this stuff all the time. So there's two real quick things that pop up in my head here. One, most of us as parents will be the first ones to tell you, my kid is amazing. Mm-hmm. I have the most amazing children. Mm-hmm. They're fantastic. They're beautiful. They're smart. They're creative. All
they're
this
everything.
Stuff.
Yes. Yeah.
So, of course, we're going to think this about our pets.
Yes.
It's not that much different. And I'm not saying that we look at them the same, but our heart, we only have one heart.
Right.
Everything is in the same place.
And if you don't have kids, this becomes like your child.
Yes.
Or if your kids are grown up, this becomes your child, because I feel like once a parent, always a parent, and you sometimes want to nurture.
Yeah.
So a pet becomes that.
I think that that's a part of this too, that we may be, not delusional or anything like that, but maybe kind of romanticizing it a little bit in our heads. This is what we should do. I mean, you should be a big fan of your kid as a parent. You should be a big fan of your pet.
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing. I do think though that there is some like reality that sets in here. Like, don't go spending $1,000 on t-shirts and you go try to sell them and then you're shocked when they don't sell.
We're doing a walk, and we're going to print our dog's picture on it.
I like the idea of personally doing these things. The idea of on a mass
selling
level.
You're right. Because, personally, there's some fun or inside jokes of it. But, you're going to try to sell, like, thousands of t-shirts of your dog?
I really hope you sit on that idea for a little bit. Just think about it. Just think it over for a little while before you end up, doing anything. The other day we were talking about things that people are annoyed about online stuff. And one of the things that came up, it wasn't in the top 10, but it did come up about pets and kids and all this. In the same article, it was the biggest complaint was people talking politics and that stuff online. Well, you take away all these things, what are people going to talk about? They're going to talk about their pets or their kids or something like that. I would much rather see those things. I have never gotten tired of seeing that stuff. I do get tired of the other junk.
Yes.
I do get tired of that.
Yep.
But I don't get tired of those pictures. And if you do get tired of it, I mean, why are you on social media? I mean, what else are you on social media for other than memes and seeing people's pets and animals
or
and stuff?
Connecting here and there. But it doesn't happen that often.
No.
Like, what used to happen more, you'd reach out to somebody. Hey, how are you? It's been a while. Or whether that person lived cross country or something like that. But yeah, it's different for sure.
I also think that it's not, it's also noteworthy to me too, though, that we are getting it. We are having a harder time reaching each other and finding ways to bring ourselves together. And I don't think that we are. I wouldn't say that we are more divisive, but I don't think we've really taken any steps forward when it comes to being less divisive. So when we're looking at this and we're trying to think of things that we all have in common, most of us love animals. Most of us love animals. And this is hopefully building some of that back again. Yeah, maybe we don't vote for the same person, but man, do we both love dogs the same.
Right. Commonalities. We need more of those. Yes.
So, I mean, I don't know. I think that there's some positives to not only this article, but to the idea of that, of us becoming a more pet society. We always have been. We've been for a very long time. But I've talked about this with Mayor Blazer, with Mayor Verwink when he was here. But if you are worried about the population of your town, one of the biggest things you can do is be pet friendly.
Yeah.
Now, I got laughed at about that for a while. What are we doing in this town? We're building a dog park. Yep. Like, I mean, it's something that has to be done. It's not a matter of you sitting on your morals or your hill and like, no, I'm not going to be dog friendly. I'm not going to give in to this. This is not a fad, people. This is not like a trend.
People have had dogs for years. Plus, let's give them a good space to be, right? Their place, they can get that energy out. I mean, they can poop there, too. Yeah, like, let's talk about that, too. Like, I mean, it's their space and place. So, I think it's a good idea.
The areas that are more pet friendly, they are doing better population wise. At least keeping their population or increasing it.
Yep.
Yeah. It's not rocket science. Mm-mm. And I think that there's a lot of good that comes from this that outweighs the negative of, oh, God, I got to see Fido again. Another picture of Fido.
Right?
God, they just keep posting photos of Fido. I'm glad they are. Keep posting those photos. I'll just keep scanning. It takes me 2 seconds. It takes me a half a second to scan to go past that on my phone. It doesn't bother me. It's in my eye, out my eye in 1 second.
Yep.
I'd rather see that than blah, 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 political, blah, 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 political. And it's all white noise to me now. Even if it's stuff that I agree with, that's the thing that got dangerous to me with this and doing this job, where I wake up every morning and the first thing I do is look at the news cycle and look at what's going on. What did I sleep through? What happened overnight or whatever? And what's waiting for us today? And those things is the numbness that you get from this of, you know, even news stories that you like, even, you know, there are politicians that you like or whatever. And even those you're numb to. That's dangerous to me. Hopefully there is a friendly furry friend in your life to kind of cheer you up a little bit and kind of keep your mood, your mentality right, so you don't get too far on that end. Don't try selling merch of them.
Please don't
save your money. we'll come back with the That Ain't Right story. Then we got some good stories of the day and plenty more coming up for you on Locally Grown Radio, WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, Locally Grown Radio.
Oh, that took a twist.
Yeah.
I didn't think that was going to be like that. We're getting it tropical here for everybody, even though it might not feel
like outside. Don't look outside. Just don't look outside. Yeah.
Sunshine inside.
We hope you're having a good one out there. Thanks for joining us. Katrina and James here with you to wrap up the show, take you right to the top of the hour. Stick around, everybody. Not only will we have an update on your world news from CBS, but we'll kick off Morning Magazine for this Wednesday, where in part one, we're going to talk with Lance Plimmel, Wood County Chairman. We'll also have, of course, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media in to record that. It's going to be fun. Looking forward to it. And in part two, Ann Lepak going to join us, Director of PR and Fund Development with our friends over at the ODC. We're looking forward to that, too.
That'll
be great. Chance to talk with the ODC is always a good time. Going to be a couple of great conversations right there. Stick around for Over the Back Fence coming up in just a moment. Right now, let's get into this That Ain't Right story. And this is a doozy. I guess taking pens and Post-its from work just doesn't give this the same rush anymore. According to a report, the latest thing people won't stop stealing from the office is forks.
Forks.
Or silverware, really.
Huh.
It used to be an issue, but office managers are constantly having to buy more forks and knives and spoons now to replace the old ones. It became more common ever since people returned to the office and stopped working from home so much. And here's the leading theory why. In a recent poll, 60% of workers said that their companies have made great efforts to go green in the past few years. So a lot of offices aren't stocking plastic utensils anymore. And restaurants aren't handing them out by default as much either. Mm. That means all the real silverware gets used and doesn't always get returned. Sometimes we walk off with it by mistake or just don't put it back the right way. Mm-hmm. But the scarcity is also causing us to covet the silverware at work. In other words, we're more likely to hide utensils in our desk to make sure we have something to eat with tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
Yikes.
Yeah, I think there's like a scarcity right there. Like, yeah. Feeling like, oh, we can't, how are we going to eat this?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess there's those handy, like, whether they're bamboo or you just bring your own silverware, but maybe you just stick that in your desk and it's just yours and you just use that one. You don't keep using the other ones or taking the other one. Interesting, though.
One of the things that I did for myself when I first started doing morning shows and everything was getting myself a nice cup. Yep. A good cup for my coffee.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see why don't you buy a fork and spoon or something for work?
Just bring something from home.
Just buy a separate one, mm-hmm. that you would use.
Or it could be a plastic one that you've gotten maybe from a fast food restaurant or something like that to go, and you can just leave it there. That's interesting. There's the scarcity of that.
Like, I've heard of people stealing silverware because it's really expensive or it's really nice or whatever.
Yes.
The idea of stealing, like, a used utensil that's been used by God knows how many people, no matter how many times it's been washed. The only reason I could see somebody taking it to throw it away. Like, so nobody else, you're not going to hurt anybody else's fork. You know, I could see that before I could see somebody stealing it to keep it. Like, this is my fork. It's mine. Right. I don't know. I'm also not in an office atmosphere like that.
Yeah.
So I imagine it's different in those situations and like, you know, the office setting and that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, get some more silverware.
Yeah, I guess you need to get some more silverware.
I don't know what else to tell you with that one. I don't think that this isn't one of the great problems of our times, I feel like this one's going to solve itself.
Yes, I think so.
Something that always solves itself as well, that is a very bad segue, but it's all I had.
That's okay.
is life. Life finds a way. Life continues. And this is a great story of that. We go to Mr. Pickles.
Oh, Mr. Pickles. Yes, the tortoise.
Yes, Mr. Pickles, the tortoise is our first good story of the day. Slow and steady, Mr. Pickles. More ways than one.
Mm-hmm.
A tortoise in Texas became a first-time dad at 90 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
The Houston Zoo announced last week. Mr. Pickles is a radiated tortoise who is the oldest animal in the Houston Zoo. He and his partner, 53-year-old Miss Pickles... Huh?
Yeah,
a little scandalous there.
Wow.
A little scandalous.
Well,
it was like a 40-year age difference there.
Right?
Is it Mr. Pickles or is it Leonardo DiCaprio? What are we talking about? Mrs. Pickles have welcomed three hatchlings. The eggs have hatched on different days in early and mid-February, the zoo confirmed to USA Today. Those baby pickles have been named Dill, Chetrian, and Jalapeno.
Nice.
The three hatchlings will remain behind the scenes in the Houston Zoo's reptile and amphibian house until they grow big enough to join their parents, the zoo said in a Thursday release.
That's great.
Have you ever seen a baby turtle?
I don't know if I have.
Oh, my God.
Oh, they're so cute.
They are pretty cool looking. So they are pretty cute. That is pretty cool.
My almost 6-year-old just said, I'd like to get a turtle.
Yes.
I was like, okay. So, yeah. Wow.
They are fun. I have always thought that, because I didn't grow, you know, not growing up with animals and stuff, there's certain ones that I thought would be cool, but didn't know, you know, this and this and this about them because I didn't grow up with them.
Right.
I've always thought dogs were cool, didn't know that they wanted to go outside every 5 seconds.
Yep.
Didn't know that part. Things like that. That I always thought that having, like, one of these tortoises bopping around your house would be awesome.
Like in your yard,
just hanging out and everything. I don't know, but there is some certain things that you need to know about them, of course, too.
Right.
The births are it's a critically endangered species. The births are especially big deal because radiated tortoises, which are native to Madagascar, are critically endangered.
Wow.
The reptile, which produces few offspring, is notably targeted by over-collection or illegal pet trade, zoo officials said.
Wow.
So this isn't not just a great good story, but it's a good story for society, for the world, for the food chain and everything.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's a good, it's wonderful. I mean, wow, way to go, Mr. Pickles, 90
yeah,
years old.
Nicely done.
Which I think their life expectancy is like 100, 120 or something like yeah. that. So final first time father at 90. Whew.
Getting it in at the rate, you know, right at the deadline there. Getting it in at the deadline. Nice job. We go to some more good stories of the day. Where actually, this one comes from the Good News Network, and Katrina, I was hanging on to this because I thought it was pretty interesting, and I thought, now I didn't have a real reason why, but I thought you might find this interesting
okay.
too. After a few bees figured out how to get a sweet treat from a locked container, mm-hmm. the whole hive eventually learned how by watching and learning.
Mm.
The research led by Queen Mary University of London and published at PLOS Biology provides strong evidence that social learning drives the spread of bumblebee behavior. In this case, precisely how they forage for food.
Mm-hmm.
So a variety of experiments basically told us that bumblebees learn new trends for their behavior by watching each other and learning.
Mm.
They are extremely similar to human beings.
Yeah.
I don't know if most people think of this or even realize that or anything like that. But to me, that was really kind of like alarming. That was pretty cool. I think it makes sense once you hear it, once you think it and you see mm-hmm. the data. But as, again, somebody who isn't as close to nature as others, this was fascinating to me.
Yeah, it's fascinating because we're very different creatures, correct? Right? Like, we're very different.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that, yeah, like, that's typically how most of us learn, right? You watch monkey see, monkey do, essentially.
Yeah.
And that the bees do a similar way to figure out how to find their food and how to forage. And that is fascinating. I mean, they're very tribe-like, right? Not
yeah.
tribe, that's
yeah.
not the word, but like, you know, they really work together as a team. Everybody has a role and a part within a hive.
They have quote unquote demonstrator bees who are trained to use either, you know, this or that and, mm-hmm. and work that. And then they go ahead and learn and show the other bees.
Wow.
The complete article you can find at goodnewsnetwork.org. That's mm-hmm. goodnewsnetwork.org. Encourage you to, there's a lot of other great info in there and encourage mm-hmm. you to check it out, everybody. Also encourage you to check out Family Natural Foods. Their doors are open right now. You can visit them at 910 West Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids or give them a call at 423-3120, 423-3120. Be sure to follow them on Facebook and Instagram. It's a great follow. You will thank yourself for doing it, and you will thank the friends at Family Natural Foods. We appreciate the gang over there and appreciate you, Katrina. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Thank you. It's been fun.
That's a great. You have a great morning.
Hey, you too.
Well, stick around. You stick around, because we're going to have Morning Magazine coming up right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.